live from the National Studios here in Accra, networking with all our Ignite FM stations and across the globe on gbcghana.com. We say welcome to Behind the News, our news and current affairs program, where we'll be looking at the issues from the perspective of the newsmakers and the experts. My name is Kingsley of the Interest. For tonight, filing of tax returns. President John Mahama personally honored it today. How symbolic is it, and what message does it send to individuals and corporate bodies? Ghana formally takes over 3 power plants. How will this contribute to improving the power generation in the country and ensuring peace in Yendi? What has gone wrong again? We'll be looking at these issues and more within the next hour or so, together with your contributions on 026-301-7882. Behind the News, you are getting us live in Tamale on Radio Savannah, and you are also live on Radio BR together with Volta Star Radio. Little drops of water, it is said, make a mighty ocean. Development analysts compare the situation to the little contributions made by every individual in the country to help in development. Payment of taxes regularly come under scrutiny when discussions veer into raising money to push a country's development. For many developed countries, it may be considered next to a sacrilege for anyone to fail to honor his or her tax obligations. Even young ones are aware that paying taxes is mandatory once a person earns an income. However, the same cannot be said of this country. Reforms in the area of taxation received some attention in this year's budget. To give a boost to the education for all to voluntarily appreciate the essence of paying taxes, the President John Mahama today filed his tax returns for the year 2012. What does it mean? What are the regulations surrounding the payment of taxes? And what can be done to help people who genuinely want to pay their taxes? We have joining us on the line an official from the Ghana Revenue Authority, Ni Ayi Ayite, Deputy Commissioner, Policy and Programs. He's at the Domestic Tax Revenue Division of the Ghana Revenue Authority. Welcome, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Generally, if you have to describe our attitude towards taxation, that is Ghanaians, would you say it's positive or just lukewarm?
I think it will be mixed because to a large extent, there are tax scandals that persons really file returns with minimum force. You wouldn't know whether it's the fear factor that drives them to do it or the voluntary nature. See, that is me. For a large number of taxpayers, like for VAT, for instance, for excise, even for employers, they will tend to file returns on time or make the effort to do that on time. And the vast majority of persons who, for one reason or another, believe the system may not catch up to them, will sometimes need some kind of coercion or some element of force to file tax returns. By and large, I would say it is generally not as to be expected of the developed economies where people would religiously file. But I want to give credit to those persons who also file on their own for some of the tax handles. I think it's a mixed issue.
So it means you have people who regularly, even before being forced, would like to do it.
Yes, that's right. There are persons, I mean, several employers who file their, what they call the AE returns by the 15th, and then we collect them. And there are others who wouldn't, perhaps out of ignorance, sometimes deliberate. So that's why I say it's mixed. But generally, as a developing economy, I think our habits of tax filing of returns and tax payment leaves much to be desired. We just have to improve it. And I want to give credit to those who do it on their own.
Yes.
All this while.
Some say sometimes those who do not file their tax returns do not know that there are some inherent benefits. What are the benefits before we even start talking about the challenges?
Yes. As was mentioned this morning,
A copy is sent to the unions.
Taxes are just the lifeblood of a nation. That is what provides all the goods and services, the public goods and services. And that is on one side. I mean, we pay taxes, government has the funds to make all the good things available. But then, in filing with your tax returns, especially on income, there are inherent personal reliefs, for instance, that you may be entitled to. And those reliefs you can only get when you have filed returns. There are reliefs, and the reliefs are not money that are given to you, but the amounts that reduce your taxable amount, what you call your chargeable income. So that between you filing your return and someone who doesn't file, if you get all the personal reliefs, your tax ordinary people will be lower. file a return, then you can take advantage of the personal release that are charged up on past the tax laws. And you know these personal releases were increased recently in the budget, and it is a direct benefit that you get. Of course, you also have the satisfaction of knowing that you have fulfilled your civic responsibility, and it also goes to you being given the certificate to show that you are clean, or at least you have made arrangements to pay your taxes.
Yes. It means from what you are saying, everybody, even in the formal sector, those receiving directly where, you know, it is checked off before you even get your money, should also file their returns.
That's right. The law enjoins anybody and everybody who is in receipt of any income, concrete, business, professional, vocation, or any period within this country, like if it ends in Ghana, if it accrues in Ghana or derived from Ghana, to file a tax return. Filing a tax return doesn't necessarily mean you may have a specific tax liability. But then it is that return that gives information in a prescribed form on your activities within the year of that you are reporting on, the income that you attend, and of course the tax that you pay will be deduced or will be computed out of the declaration that you make. That's about the tax return.
The present date is today. Is it quite significant looking at the date?
Otherwise, you look at it, it's telling you to take the time that the president is filing. Indeed, the president has made it clear that he, as an individual, has been filing his tax return religiously over a few years. And the fact that the first gentleman of the land grant makes the effort personally to walk into a tax office to file returns makes it is very significant in that he tells everyone that it is possible to file returns. Let me say that there may be several persons who may not even be aware of this issue of return, and therefore this is an eye-opener. It helps to boost our own public education. It helps to also boost this part of the GRE vision and mission, which is aimed at eliciting voluntary compliance on the part of persons. And we think it's a good gesture because you know that the president has filed. And it is that easy to file. Perhaps I can also file. This is the big lesson that comes out of that one.
Yeah, talking about a fiscal year, do you have a date that by which all people who should file returns have done so already?
That's right. In fact, the fiscal year or the tax year for our qualified generally is same as the calendar year from January to December 31st.
Mm-hmm.
And for the any year, you are required to file return after a certain period after that year. For employees, the employer, I mean, those who are employment and have, you have no other income apart from income from your employment, you must file your returns by law on the 31st March as it were, or the following year. All of this are up to the end of April for the following year, that is 4 months after the end of the year. Remember that for those who are in business, their fiscal year may not be the same as the government year, because I'm saying your business period, or let me say your own financial year. 4 months after that one, you are supposed to file your tax return in a format, a very simplified form that you complete, and this must be submitted to the Ghana Revenue Authority.
Mm-hmm.
Based upon that your, if it's an individual, your personal release is determined and the tax computed. This is a business, the allowances that you are entitled to, capital allowances being most significant, are then calculated, deducted before taxes are imposed on you. But if you don't file returns, of course, there are sanctions. The law gives the commissioner the power also to, based on any information available to him, give you what he thinks should be your tax liability, because it's in provisional assessment.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes that can be based on certain factors that may not necessarily be in line with your own business strength.
Yeah.
So it's always your own advantage to file a tax return and not really just complain about taxes that the GRA will impose on you provisionally.
Uh-huh.
You have to file a return, then you get all the benefits that are attached to it.
Good. As you talk about this one, you know, many people do not like so much paperwork. That may sound so technical. How complicated is the process?
That is right. If I say this, we'll say that because I'm in revenue. Indeed, efforts have been made over the years to reduce the amount of paperwork that must be completed. Indeed, first, let me just say for an employee whose income is from no other source than employment, the return that is required is an extra that the employer files on you. Indeed, what is required is for you to give a little bit about yourself, number of children, the school they attend, whether you are in the rented premises, some brief issues. Now, for instance, the to lead on to seeing whether you qualify for children's education relief and the quantum that you can be granted. Whether you have life assurance premiums, etc., these things will lead on to a computation of the personal relief that you are entitled to. For corporate bodies and businesses, you, like I said, you will be entitled to certain deductions, which include capital allowances. And so the forms are structured to ask very simple, straightforward questions that will lead us on to be able to determine your tax more as accurate as possible. And the GRA offices all over the country always have persons who are available and ready to guide persons in the completion of the returns. The important thing is to make the effort, and you realize that indeed it is far more simple than filing some visa application forms, which you all do when if you want to travel. This is what I can say. The forms have been simplified. They have continuously been simplified, and there is always the opportunity to be assisted by the GRE in answering the simple questions and putting down those things on your return.
Yeah, it's very compared to filing visa forms. You know, people are expecting the dividends immediately, and they can see themselves sitting in a plane and traveling.
They
can't see it with the taxation, you know.
Yeah, that is true. I consider that, you know, like you say, a tax is defined as a tax. The tax is what you pay without an immediate obvious benefit. The benefits are long-term. The benefits are generally for the general good. But then the point is, we tend to say, without paying taxes, then you keep all your profits yourself. There are certain public goods and services that you cannot provide for yourself. You can build good houses, but there's no roads to that place. There's no security to that place. You can eat all the best foods without paying taxes, but when you get sick, there will only be the doctors and the facilities to take care of you.
Uh-huh.
That is a commonwealth of taxes that creates this public goods or services. And
yeah.
One of the ways to contribute is telling the GRE what you will attend towards New York by filing the tax return. The GRE determines how much tax you pay or not pay.
Okay.
If you have credits, you are entitled to, you are granted.
I'll come back to you in a jiffy to clarify a few issues that are still coming on our table here. But we have joining us on the line now, Bernard Anaba, a program officer with ISODEC. He's been working on tax issues for some time, on tax education and all. Bernard, you are welcome to Behind the News.
Thank you.
You've heard Nyaya Ite on the issue, and naturally, he brings it home that it's something that everybody should enjoy doing. In your work, have you found it like that, or you think people still are so much afraid of entering a formal office and saying, I want to declare my income and pay some tax?
Yeah, it is so, because what we realize is that most Ghanaians see taxation as something that is far removed from them, something that is penal, in essence, so they do not want to go near it. So going to a tax office to file your return is more like reporting yourself to a tax officer. It's an issue that people really need education to realize that now it is being a good citizen to kind of take that step to file your return, and the other benefit that also accrued to it, as the official said, we'll also get from that. Yeah.
Yeah. So what is missing in our efforts to really raise domestic revenue through taxation? We keep talking about it. It won't be the first time. It's not the second. I'll say for the umpteenth time, we come back to that issue, but people still find it a challenge.
Yes, there are a lot of things that are missing. First of all, education. And a lot of people do not know the processes of how you should go about contributing to national development. They do know of those VAT, those toll taxes and other taxes that they pay. But as to whether it's a national duty to try to contribute to the national kitty is another issue. And also, taking our level of development, it's really, really very difficult to be able to get it formalized and to get them to be able to get them to pay taxes. In other jurisdictions where you know that whichever way the tax officer has a way of finding you out, then you're not going to, for the tax officer to come and find you, you file your return even before the tax officer comes to assess your taxes. But in our case, it's really very difficult to do that. And like talking about tax returns in Ghana currently, I'm a formal worker, and through my PE, the government will be able to assess my tax and other things. What about if I have that private bench who is not ready? an income. And I found my tax returns to look at my former way, but not filing my cabbage kind of tax return. I've got all that accrued to my income. How is the government going to find out? The government might never know until me something else comes out. So that is the main issue. The issue about people voluntarily filing their returns, and also the government having a way of finding out who and who are not paying tax and are supposed to pay tax.
Mm.
Coming to you, please hold on. Society, do you track people like that within the system, people who should pay taxes, and yet because it's become difficult to trace, they are able to go through the system without necessarily doing anything of that sort?
Mm. Well, first, let me thank the contributor. I think he has said a lot of things that are very valid. That is what makes tax administration rather challenging. Let me say that currently, for a couple of years, the tax system in Ghana has been undergoing certain reforms. The very reform of the GRE, where all the three revenue agencies, either two revenue agencies, have been pulled together, integrated into the Ghana Revenue Authority. All these are, this is a general plan that is being put in place to help make the system of tax payment easier. Indeed, now you wouldn't, for the offices that have been integrated, especially Greater Accra and some part, I mean, Kasua, for instance, and we are trying across the country, you will not need to move from an IRS office to a DET office to file a tax return. We are having integrated offices. We already had a large taxi office, and we are moving to integrating them to 4 million taxi offices, more taxi offices spread across the country. That is one. Now, in any such office, you will be able to attend to all your tax affairs at one point. But the other part about this issue of tracking person, remember that indeed we are operating an integrated system. We may hide for a number of, for some time. It would have been relatively easier. Now with our integration process, with the taxpayer identification number system that we are putting in place, with information that we are getting from third parties, it is possible, especially for those in business, to know, for instance, that have imported that person over a period to try to find out how that person that is performed in terms of filing income tax return, because we are bringing goods in commercial quantities. Then obviously you are going to engage in some business. It might translate into return filing. It might translate to a certain tax payment history. Now we are creating this type of integrated system to facilitate the issue of tracking. That is the reason why it's in everybody's interest to come up now in terms of just filing tax returns, then you are guided to the real tax liabilities that you have to pay.
Yeah.
And I must concede that it is not an easy task where you have to make the effort to track out persons who are deliberately trying to hide. Eventually, however, the system comes up with you, and that is where punitive measures come in, send out this and the rest. And I think I advise everybody to kind of avoid it. And also for everybody to take advantage of this tax amnesty, which is currently ongoing, where you should have filed returns previously and you have never filed. The tax amnesty program gives you the opportunity to file your returns without fear of prosecution, without fear of any penalties or interest being imposed on you. And you can, anybody can get any information on this from any of our offices across the country.
You've raised one vital issue, that is the TIN, T-I-N.
That's right.
And it's so important. Does that mean that even if you are not working, you can pick a TIN so that it becomes easier for you to file anything you are getting?
Eventually, that is the plan. We are starting for those who have got, let me say, business to do with the Ghana Revenue Authority.
Uh-huh.
But eventually, every person, if indeed you will eventually be taxpaying,
uh-huh,
to get a taxpayer identification number.
Uh-huh.
That number is planned to be a unique number. That you, just like your social security number, that is the basic, and it goes through whatever I've seen, the employment or not, it's still that one. So we are redoing the TIN system to kind of clean it, make it more straightforward, remove some of the bugs that were in the system, so that a person who has any business, I don't want to say persons who earn income, but anybody who has any business to do with revenue, for example, just a taxpayer identification number. This becomes within the system, and just like a bank account, is able to track your return statement for all types of tax types that you pay. It's able to give you account, your tax account. It's able to give you a lot of information on your own tax affairs as well as information on the GRE. The CIN system is ongoing. We expect that gradually we'll have all persons covered.
Yeah. Let me take you back a little bit into what used to be in our rural settings or the community settings, the land pool system. Anybody who comes of age knows he's going to pay the tax. And if you've not paid, by all means, you can be tracked. Now we have urban areas and, you know, it gives so much anonymity. In that case, would it be possible to track, or maybe you are looking at other systems of registration now taking place, the biometric processes taking place to track?
Let me just say that there's a multifaceted approach to dealing with all these things. This type of tax education tries to appeal to persons who come out voluntarily to pay their tax. I mean, fire retention and pay tax is one of them. The tax amnesty is another method or strategy. I must admit that our land poor addressing system tends to make things difficult. But then we have got other interventions. I did mention the TI and the tax qualification number system. And we are also piloting the GIS system by which we use satellite means to be able to locate persons. In the long run, when we have put all these different strategies that we have in place, it should be relatively easier to be able to track persons. I won't say there will be 100% success.
Uh-huh.
But then in terms of the linkages, in terms of the GIS system that we tend to deploy, in terms of the electronic platform on which we tend to manage taxation, know that as you pay your rent to a landlord, that rent you are paying becomes income to that landlord. Okay? If it is a business, it may be a deduction that is allowed you from your business profit. So there are several linkages. You should be suppliers to a third party. Taxes are withheld. When that tax is withheld, you then have information that this person, so much tax was withheld, not present this year. And that translates a certain amount of
income, valuable
or acceptable income. It is these linkages that we work on. But let me say that the bottom line is trying to elicit the habit of voluntary compliance in the tax part of our taxpayers. And I believe, or we believe, that where the rules are simplified, where access is clear, you will get a large number of persons who would make the effort, trying to be easier to deal with the recalcitrant one.
Yeah, okay.
So we are using this complete system, like I said, multifaceted.
Okay.
To address
and a quick question here before we let you go. This one says, I happen to be a worker in government employment and do some part-time teaching in a government secondary or tertiary institution. What can I do with regard to tax clearance since the part-time tax is deducted by the said institution?
Okay. So that's a very good question. Let's know that there are some, he says it's deducted at source. Know that his tax has been withheld from it.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain withheld taxes that are final. That is why the tax is withheld, that's it. Unless that are withheld are on account.
Mm-hmm.
On account in the sense that the obligation to file a tax return is not distinguished by the fact that you have had taxes withheld at source on some income that has come to you. You still file your tax returns, and there will be evidence of what has been withheld at source. That is what I've held on, and this one will be credited to you when you have your final tax has been determined. Example, if all you do is supply to persons and 5% of your payments to you is withheld by that your customer who paid this with January, you have accumulated an amount of credit as it were. You still file your tax returns, and then you will get credit for what you have already paid against what you've determined.
Yeah.
Now, for that employee that you are talking about, he, as an employee, still has obligation to file a tax return.
Mm.
And in this case, it's either the routine one or what the employer files on his behalf. But the taxes that are final, they are final, but then he still has to file this tax return because that is when he will get tax personal relief like this, additional personal relief, student education relief, of course, social security relief. Most of us get it almost automatically. And the other relief that are in the system. So I encourage you to file.
Okay.
It's a very easy process.
You know, we need to bring you to the studio because there are so many issues that we need to tackle to create that voluntary compliance within the system. But for now, we want to thank you so much for your time tonight.
I'm grateful for this opportunity. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much. Nyaya Ite is Deputy Commissioner of Policy and Programs of the Domestic Tax Revenue Division of the Ghana Revenue Authority. Bernard, we still have you on the line. As a civil society organization, you have been working so hard on these things. Do you think we can get to a point where the voluntary compliance will be met with that attitude what do I see my tax being used for?
Yes, I mean, definitely that is why we are working towards it. We hope that we can get to that point. But we need to keep working, keep educating people, and keep making taxes useful to the people. When there is this anger where people think that the taxes that they pay, they do not also see it uses in their lives or in their day-to-day life. So they are not so willing to pay the taxes. They keep it to themselves. So if we see government also proving that using our tax revenue to help in all the goods that we need, of public goods, instead of our roads, instead of the water system and other things, then people will also be more willing to come and pay. That couple of education, I think, in the future will be able to get there.
We'll be able to get there. We want to thank you very much for sharing with us to some knowledge.
Thank you, sir.
Bernard Anaba is a program officer with ISODEC. You are still live on Behind the News, devoting a chunk of the time to taxation. President Mahama earlier in the day filed his tax returns, but we are looking at other perspectives to it. And joining us now is Vitus Azim, the Executive Director of Ghana Integrity Initiative. We welcome you, sir.
Thank you.
Do you see the president's example as something that will kindle the interest of those who might be dodging for now?
I think there's more to it than just going to file a tax return and paying your taxes. People are looking, as somebody has just said, people are looking at what you are doing with the money that you need. Are there better schools? Are there better hospitals? Those who cannot afford to pay the National Health Insurance levy, are they able, to register with the National Health Insurance, is there any support for them? How are our roads? These are the things that people are looking for. You might encourage a few people to file their tax returns and maybe voluntarily pay their taxes. But a lot of us are paying taxes because we don't have a choice.
Mm-hmm. You don't have a choice.
Yes.
Because it is checked off before you get your salaries.
Yes.
Yes. And so we keep asking that question. Has the state been very effective in even punishing those who fail to honor their tax obligations? Or should it not be punishment, but something else to encourage?
The state has more than been ineffective. More than two or three times, state has said, if you have not paid your tax in the past, let's forget about it. So we encourage people to pay, which is very unfortunate. Instead of penalizing people, sanctioning people for not paying their taxes, states are encouraging, rewarding people that have not been paying their taxes. So if you are able to skip for 1 year, 2 years, the state says, that's okay, let's just forget about the past. So people don't see the necessity to pay tax. Because after all, if you are able to wait for 1 year, the government will say, let's forget about that. And that is not a way to encourage people to pay taxes.
But I'm also talking about using the carrot and stick alternative. Don't you see it as something just to bring people forward so that at least they won't keep hiding perpetually?
When you do that, you are penalizing those that have been good citizens who have been paying their taxes all the time. And so those people who have been good and paying their taxes will now be obliged, tempted to join those that are not paying their taxes. How often are you going to forgive people for not paying their taxes? Just say, let's waive those. It doesn't. I don't think that it brings about what we are actually looking for. Because otherwise, if you had done that the very first time, I think it was under the NPP when they did it, there shouldn't have been any need again to do it. But because they did not see the desired results, that you have already been appointed to the government, that method does not help.
There's been occasions where people have raised concerns with even using the waiver for companies going into a particular area because they think it really, in the long run, doesn't inure to the benefit of the people there. Have you observed anything of the sort?
Yeah, that one too is a serious problem because you give the waivers, you want to encourage people to go to certain areas. But you see, it's not just the tax alone that can attract people to a particular area to invest in. There are other things. Are there good roads going there? How costly is labor? Is the water supply regular? Is the electricity supply regular? What are the other facilities that your workers would like to enjoy that are at that place? Why are a lot of young people coming down to Accra and Kumasi all the time? Because there are certain things in Accra and Kumasi that attract them. So even if you grant the tax exemption and you don't provide those necessary things in those areas, you are not likely to succeed. And that's why we've not actually succeeded much in that direction too.
So what do you suggest should be done?
Well, you see, you can use the, you need first to enforce the tax laws, not to reward people who have failed to pay their taxes. Then you need to use the tax revenues effectively for the benefit of the majority of Ghanaians. And don't allow people to take advantage of these tax concessions and all those things. People are not actually doing what they're expected to do. There's no monitoring of what they are doing so that if people are abusing it, they can be sanctioned or the concessions can be taken away.
So you are talking about effective monitoring of whatever is done to encourage people.
Effective monitoring, but also it should go with sanctions. Because if you monitor and find out that I'm not doing the right thing, and you keep quiet, or you grant me a waiver, then what's the point of the monitor?
Okay. We want to thank you very much for your time to Mr. Vitus Azeem.
You're welcome.
That's the Executive Director of Ghana Integrity Initiative. But talking about taxation and waivers and people not doing it effectively and dodging, Emmanuel Buduado is the head of finance at ActionAid. They have conducted a study across the continent on how some people are doing it well or not doing it well. He's now joining us on the line. Thanks so much for your time, Emmanuel.
Yeah, thank you too for the time to and speaking to your listeners.
What have you seen that may sound like a discouragement for others paying taxes?
Yeah, the first thing is understanding. Before you accept any concept, you need to understand the basics. And in Ghana, one of the challenges we are having actually is the understanding of taxes. Most taxpayers do not understand the concept. So one of the critical areas that we have to look at is how we get people educated on taxes so that we understand what tax revenue actually is. So for instance, if you look at most of the construction that we have, you can see clearly where the mount billboard with the funders. But for instance, if it is a loan from a bank, you see that the billboard portrays exactly that this is a loan from this organization which we are using to finance this. But we hardly see tax revenue being used for tax activities. So if somebody is paying taxes, the first question the person has is, what is the money used for? What is the added value? So those are some of the areas that make it difficult for people to understand exactly what that is.
So you are saying that assuming a road is being constructed and it is coming directly from the taxpayer's money, it should be indicated that this is what your tax is doing for you on this particular stretch.
Apart from that, there are other avenues that could be used to get people to understand exactly what tax revenues are used for. For instance, we have educational facilities that government funds. It's tax money from used for those funding. If that is it, the taxpayers ought to know. The one who gives the money should know it's part of the accountability to say. If I pay and I don't know exactly, because sometimes people go out there and then the information they give is tax money is used to pay government officials. So a lot of people think that that is the only thing that tax money is used. And almost on a daily basis, we hear about corruption from government units on radio, in the news media. Then it tends to discourage people from even, apart from the fact that the deeper understanding is lacking. When we don't see the value, it also takes this kind of attitude of not ready to.
Okay. day. So the value is so important. You know, exactly. We are setting up a date dedicating it to taxation. So it means we'll be getting much more from you as we look at even tax dodging issues that tend to come up. We want to thank you very much for your input tonight. Emmanuel Budu Ado is with ActionAid as head of finance. You are still live on Behind the News, and coming up soon, we are looking at energy. Yes, I know many people will be talking about load shedding and other issues. Are we getting to the end, or is the end of the load shedding in sight? That is what many people are asking. Well, the government today formally took over the thermal power plant known as T3. Work on the project was done by the Canadian Commercial Corporation. President Mahama, during his State of the Nation address, hinted that the T3 project will soon come on stream and even followed it up with a visit to the project site. Today, that assurance manifested as the Minister of Energy, Emmanuel Amakufibua, and the Chief Executive Officer of the Volta River Authority, Kweku Awotri, signed official documents to take over the project, which is to augment the current energy deficit that has plunged the country into power rationing. So what does this mean? Is the load shedding over, and how many megawatts of power is the T3 going to generate, and how will it add to the country's power generation? We have joining us on the line Edward Bauer, Communications Specialist at the Ministry of Energy. Now, welcome, Edward.
Thank you very much, and good evening to your listeners.
For many people, you know, that is the simple question. Does that mean the lights off are ending today?
The message we have always given to Ghanaians and will continue to give Ghanaians is that as a ministry, we have set our targets. And as a government, we have set our targets also to meet in terms of ensuring that we resolve the load shedding challenge that we have currently. You will know, you will recall that as we, because of the West Africa gas pipeline damage, we have in our system a deficit of 300 megawatts. And so any addition of megawatt into our system is always a welcome news. So yes, today, officially, we took over the T3, that's the Takoradi Thermal Power Plant, that's the T3, which has an installed generation capacity of 132 megawatts. We took delivery of it, and therefore what it meant is that effective today, the plant could now go into what we call the commercial operation, the COD, which means that from today onwards, T3 can now be run as a commercial entity, supply power to our national grid, and therefore also reduce the deficit that we have. So yes, if the question is, are we making an attempt to reduce this doing so or load shedding, I'll tell you that yes, that's exactly what we are doing.
So it's a reduction, but not a complete, what should we say? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because obviously, as we speak now, off peak, we shed roughly around 150 megawatts. That's off peak, I'm talking of during the day.
Uh-huh.
And during peak time, that's between 6 and 12 midnight, thereabouts, we shed about between 250 and 300 megawatts. So if you have a situation where now you have added 132 megawatts, what it then tells you is that effectively, during the off peak, the peak period, instead of shedding assuming that you are shedding 300 megawatts,
uh-huh,
and you now have 132. So it means that you have at least been able to save 132 megawatts, and therefore you will be shedding around 160 something megawatts. So if that is the case, then you have areas that should have gone off as a result of that shedding will not go off.
Uh-huh.
So there has been an improvement in the system. But we have told Ghanaians that our target is very simple. Our target is that, look, by the end of April, hopefully we will have our West Africa gas pipeline coming on stream. If the West Africa gas pipeline comes on stream, Asoglo will come with 200. We also know that now we have this 132. We also do know very clearly that by the end of April, we also have the first unit of Buyu, that's 133 megawatts coming. So all things being equal, by the end of April, we should really, the current load shedding problem should have been eliminated. But our long-term plan is to have a more reliable supply of energy services, particularly electricity, to Ghanaian homes and businesses. And that is a target we are not ready to renege on.
I know we'll talk about the long term very soon, but from what you are immediately talking about, you said first week in April, we are expecting something from Bui.
Yes. By the end of April, by the end of this month, Uh-huh. But, you know, we had a total installed capacity of 400 megawatts.
Uh-huh.
However, by the end of April, we will have delivery of 133 megawatts. That's the first unit of wind that will be available for us to use as a country.
Uh-huh.
So what it means is that by the end of April, we should have 133 coming from wind. If that starts coming to us also by the end of April or the first week of May, we will have 200 megawatts also coming from assembly. But assembly has been shutting down since August 28th, 2012, mm-hmm. not working because there's no gas. Mm-hmm. We will have 200 there. Now we have this 132 that we have just added. If you add all these figures, we are way above the 300 megawatts deficit that we have. So we even have a reasonable reserve margin that we can play around with. So basically, by the end of the first week of May, we should be able to handle this issue. And Ghanaians should have seen that, yes, the promises we are giving in terms of this are working.
Technically, putting all these together, we get around 465 megawatts. But some are saying that our needs and energy demands are growing with each passing day. So we cannot say that, oh, by having this, then the problem is completely solved.
No.
So in the long term, what are you talking of now?
Yeah, you are right. Fundamentally, for us, we do know that we may be even be dealing with what we call suppressed demand. Suppressed demand being that, yes, we were told that now in terms of our low demand, at peak hours, we are talking about around 1780 megawatts. That's 1780 megawatts. So this may not be a very accurate load demand that the country really faces. People may not be using their air conditioners because of the level of power. People may not be using some gadgets because of that. And anytime there's power, they can decide to use more. So yes, we know very well that what we are talking about in April is not just coming to solve all the problems of Ghana's power sector.
Mm-hmm.
But we are building ourselves a long term. We are telling ourselves, and in line with what the president himself said, that by the end of 2013, no change should be a thing of the past. And the reason why he said that is because of the fact that if you look at this year, our projection for this year, we would have been adding effectively 532 megawatts, 534 megawatts. The reason why we're adding 534 megawatts only in 2013 is that we are taking the 132 that we have just added, that's a T3. We are taking the 2 megawatts from the solar plant, power plant in Nabongo. And we are taking 400 because by the end of September, that's the third quarter of this year, or maybe latest by the first quarter of 4th quarter of this year, we should have gotten the whole of B. And the whole of B is 400 plus the 132, making 532 plus the 2 megawatts, making 534.
Uh-huh.
If we add this 534 megawatts to our already installed generation capacity of about over 2,000, it gives us a fair idea that at least for now, we should be able to manage power in terms of sufficiency of supply.
Okay.
So that will not be a challenge for us.
Okay. I'll come back to you because we've now been joined on the line by Katie Hammond, a former deputy energy minister under the Kufuor administration. You're welcome, sir.
Yes, hi. How are you?
Fine, thank you. And I guess you are beginning to heave a sigh of relief, are you?
What gives me?
If we are gradually getting out of the darkness, are you happy about it?
I mean, I hear the young man regurgitating all that there is in the pipeline, which is coming on the screen. He seems to be excited about that. And the other day, when we had this discussion, one of his colleagues from the VRA indicated that the gestation period for this plant to come on stream would be about 4 years. I've been asking the question, what is NDC government? I've been doing all this 4 years. What has it done? Because all that the young man is, I'm trying to be careful the words we use, but all what the young man has been talking about is all that the NDC put in place. What has the NDC put in place? I don't know. You asked a very pertinent question. In the long run, we've got a very immediate urgent, and then we've got a short term, and then we've got a long run. The very long term, what's going to happen? I'm not happy. There's another matter. The young man from the ministry is unaware. You should ask him and let them prove why are we in the darkness in the first place. I take the view that we shouldn't at all. My survey may have come down because of the non-supply from the West African gas pipeline, because obviously of the problem we all know about. But should that have necessarily led to the shortage that we have? Well, no. We know that the NPP, which would have been able to cater for our needs in lieu of what Asogle would have supplied. 200 megawatts actually is the off-peak shortfall. We brought in plants which would have given us equivalent of 220 megawatts. What happened? For 4 years, ERA, some personal interest individuals in there, made sure that those plants were not installed. As a young man aware, the administration will be working on that.
Yes.
It also be working on how much the selfishness of those individuals at the VRA is caused the nation.
Mr. K.K. Hammond, as we discuss, you acknowledge that sometimes even investment in the energy sector is not something that yields dividends immediately. I guess you also acknowledge that even when you put in investments, let's look at BRI, when it started, when it's going to yield and all.
Well, I understand that.
Yeah. So are we not getting somewhere gradually?
No. I mean, you're actually repeating exactly what I've been saying. Yes, because it takes a long time for whatever project has started to bear fruit. And knowing very well the percentage increase in our demands over the years, we should not be relying on all that Kufuor did. We, as a country, the NDC administration, must also be planning ahead. So the 4 years that they had, they should have put that to good use. Now, you would have expected that within the 4 years, they should also have started something which then will bear fruit in the coming years. All that the young man has been talking about is what Kufuor put in place. My question is this: what have they done to make sure that there's a sustainable supply of energy in the country?
Let me quickly go to him. Edward, you've heard Mr. K.T. Hammond on the issue. It's an investment, but he's saying it goes way back.
First of all, let me just say good evening to the honorable member.
Again, let me put it on record. Young man, it's nothing to do with you. I think you are you a spokesperson or something? I didn't quite get your designation. It really has nothing to do with you. You really are not the government. So whatever I say, don't take it personally. That's why I made sure.
Yeah, it's a response from the Ministry of Energy.
Sure. How are you? Okay. Yes.
I'm good. It is important that we put, in as much as this is not a personalized thing, but I think that it is important that we state the facts as they are. It is true that when you look at generally the average gestation period for even putting an average thermal plant, will take roughly between 24 to 36 months, or maybe sometimes even 48 months. That is true, and I agree with that. But it is also very true that you will look at this current T3, this T3 plant, thermal plant, was commissioned. In fact, the sword was cut by the then vice president, who is now the president of Ghana, His Excellency John Mahama, and that was in 2009.
Hold on. Which one is it?
I'm just talking of these T3. The sword was cut.
And which has been just commissioned? Hey, young man, go back and check your notes.
No, I know what I'm talking about.
No, that's not true. That is not true. T3 Takoradi was not commissioned by John. No, fundamentally wrong.
Mr. K.T. Hammond, we'll give you the chance to respond, so let him develop his point.
So I intend to correct every misconception, every mistake before we move one step ahead.
Let me make my point, then you can do that. The point I'm just making fundamentally is that in 2009, His Excellency, then the Vice President, John Mahama, went to cut the sword for the start of construction of the T3. But even I do not want us to start moving into who did what and who didn't do what. Currently, as a country, Ghanaians are facing a very serious, terrible situation in terms of load shedding. Their businesses are not working very well. Their homes are not well managed because of issues of power. And therefore, I always do not want arguments like this to be centered on politics. But just to be able to make the point that, look, if as a country we do know that on the average Every year, we're supposed to be adding 200 megawatts, at least, because of the growth of energy demand in the country. Between 2001 and 2006, not a single megawatt was added into the generation, the installed generation capacity of this country. In fact, it was only in 2007 that, because of the energy crisis, the consortium of mining companies came together to put on what we now call the MRP, that is the mining reserve plant, which I know Honorable Katie Hammond is fully aware of. So when we want to talk about investment in the energy sector, we will know that part of the challenges we are facing today is because of the inability of as a country to have added generation capacity in, for the past 6-7 years, that between 2001 and 2007. Indeed, for the whole 8 years, if we're looking at addition, it was only 18 megawatts that was added into the system. Any other addition has been as a result of this current government. And not only that, you know that the plans that are in Tema were all put in place by that. Even Ashokli, that normal people always said, Ashokli came on stream in 2010. So, yes, what are the long-term plans for us as a country? The long-term plan is that we have indicated, and because of the gestation period, we have said that, fine, we, and Honorable will know that, yes, I do, and I have to give credit to the former president to have initiated the concept of BUI. But the truth of the matter is that BUI's real construction work really commenced in 2009. And in 2009 to now, we are happy to report that by the end of September, we should have BUI in operation. Because obviously, he is accusing the current government of the fact that KTPP, that's the Kontema power plant, was put aside for many years, and it was only last year that we started constructing it. But the truth of the matter is that there were some issues surrounding that. In terms of even market rates, the proposition that was given as a result of these Aston units that were brought was not really something that we could say market value for what they call money approach that we did. But as a country, what we did was that we tried finding a way of ensuring that, yes, Ghanaians benefit. The money that we're going to get was competitive in terms of the market rates, and at the end of the day, we should really be able to
make a plan. Edward, thank you very much. Mr. Casey Hammond, so looking forward, what do you think we should even do now?
Edward, if Edward is on the line, I tell him I'm very, very unhappy with him about his submissions, because he's misled everybody. If he says that 2001, 2006, Kufuor administration didn't do anything, we didn't lack power at the time. Come 2006, 2007, when the Kosovo reservoir dried up, we were hit with a mega crisis. We stepped up, and then everything that he's talking about now, I say on record that it was the Kufuor administration put that in place. I go back to the point that everybody is making. He himself is made, and you are also reiterating. Point is that if we accept that the gestation period is that long, we have put in place something. What is it that the NDC is putting in place or has put in place? And I hear him say that whatever is in place now is the handiwork of the NDC. I'm very upset with him. He talked about Assembly. Assembly, when I was there myself when President Kufuor was cutting the sword. What is he talking about? In any event, he wouldn't force me to mention this. He says, what, the Zakhen thing, the Armstrong thing at Teba.
Moving forward, what do you think are some of the things we need to do now?
He's made points that need clarification. The fact, the reason for the non-installation of the Zakhen plant at Tema is not because of any commercial reason. It's because of individual reason. He knows about that. The ministry is aware about that. The ministry knows what
he
has involved with.
So we have to the ministry about it. I guess we need to find some time and discuss a lot more energy issues and see even how we include solar and everything. We want to thank you very much, Alice, for joining the program tonight. Mr. Casey Hammond is a former Deputy Energy Minister under the Kufuor administration. Edward, do we still have you? I guess we lost Edward too. You are still live on Behind the News. We have some of your tests here. And this one coming from Aziz Donla, he says the youth of Ghana should not allow themselves to be used as a tool of war. We all need to keep our communities peaceful. for massive development. That's coming from Aziz Donla. And this one from Salia is saying, why should I pay tax when I am not able to get water, access proper health care and education amidst the ongoing power crisis? Salia is saying, so Salia, I think you were giving reason why we should even pay so that certain things won't continue to exist. And this one says, who will the Electoral Commission pay us? 2012 election officials. Brilliant. New EDBRC. You're asking a question that's a lot of you keep asking. And Antonio is saying, the president has demonstrated good leadership for all of us to emulate. Ministers, MPs, and down to the track pusher should follow this example. And this one is coming from AU Farouk. Anando and the MPP should follow the footsteps of Odinga of Kenya and accept defeat when the final judgment is pronounced by the Supreme Court. Well, we are waiting for the Supreme Court to do that declaration. And Kojoe Keep Coast, paying tithes in our churches is the same as paying taxes to the government. Kojo Akins is saying so. But we want to make a quick run to the Northern Region. The Northern Regional Security Council has deployed police and military personnel to Yindi following renewed clashes that erupted during the Easter holidays, leading to the destruction of property. 5 people are reported to have been arrested in a dispute between the two feuding factions in the Dagbon crisis, the Abudus and the Andanis. But what sparked the latest confusion and how is the security situation now? Bizudin is the Northern Regional Minister and is joined us as we take a quick update. We appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you very much.
What is happening presently?
Well, if you're talking about presently, let me say that we have been able to restore law and order in TND. It is calm, and unless something else has happened as at the time that we're holding the Regional Security Council meeting, everybody was calm in TND.
There's been occasions where we had such calm, but unfortunately things erupted into proportions that nobody would like to talk about. So what exactly are you doing to ensure that this is not an easy calm, but a lasting one?
Well, when I say calm, it's not possible to have a lasting calm because these activities are created by human beings. And you never know when anybody will go and then stoke some fire somewhere. But what we have done this time is that we are more proactive. And so as soon as something happens, we try to contain that situation. So this conflict broke out yesterday. And by this, yesterday, we sent men to go and then contain the situation. And since that time, we have had to deploy more men into the area. Today at RegSec, the decision we took was that let us increase the presence of security personnel in the Yindi area and let them carry on with more patrol work. And also, we have to set up barriers at all the entry points into Yindi so that people who are coming in and people who are leaving, they can be thoroughly safe. To avoid a situation where people are bringing in arms and ammunition into the area. So, and furthermore, we have been asked the security persons to ensure that if they hear of any firing up of arms and ammunition in any premises or any house, they should take steps to go and search and then confiscate any such arms. So, we are taking all these steps to ensure that the situation does not go from bad to worse.
Would you say this incident took the security personnel by surprise because at least things have stabilized for some time in Yindi?
Well, it was surprise in a sense, but everybody knows and all the security will know that generally anything could spark off trouble. And this trouble, which is sparked off, was not something that anybody had anticipated. Even though generally the security people are prepared at all times to deal with any unexpected situation, but it was not one that was expected at the time that it occurred. Because there was actually no event which should or not have prompted such a conflict. But what happened was that the regent of Gabon had installed what they call the youth chief, and that was within his right to do so. And Bolinana also tried to install a youth chief as a rival youth chief, but that insight was sort of aborted.
So I guess you are talking to both parties now.
Well, we are talking to both parties in a sense, but that is not our priority. Our priority is first and foremost to contain the security situation. That is our priority. Thereafter, we then have time to talk to both parties.
Okay. We'll see exactly how it is contained. We are hoping it continues like that, but we'll get to talk again and see exactly how you continue to help them smooth the peace pipe. For now, we want to thank you very much.
Very well.
Bidzidin is the Northern Regional Minister. And before we go, some of your tests here, Mana from Bachelor, I say, President Mama should rather resource state institutions responsible for revenue collection to deliver. Filing for tax returns is not enough. And Jensun Rashid from WA, he says, thank God our energy sector will now be equipped with what it takes to boost our economy as far as these plants are concerned. And Sidi Nicola Chenchenku, this conflict will surely end only if it is tackled from the roots. And Kojo Kingscape Coast, President Mama set the ball rolling by his example. All must now pay their taxes. And this is where we wrap it all up for today. Hello, Usu Ben Passat at the controls. On behalf of the production team of Christopher Siedu, Bryce Agama, Philip Kofi, and John Pudi, and Barbara Yakubu, who handled the summaries for us. My name is Kingsley Odinchere.